Welcome to CSEK News, the only news source in the North truly dedicated to local stories on the ground. CSEK News addresses the diverse needs of the underserved communities between Burns Lake and Haida Gwaii through firsthand stories and in-depth interviews. CSEK News funding is made possible by the Community Radio Fund of Canada, the only organization mandated to financially support campus and community radio stations in Canada, as well as the Government of Canada. We are your hosts, Pam Hassan and Dan Messick, and we are on the dial at 93.9 FM, Smithers Community Radio. Our call letters are CSEK, and we are broadcasting from the unceded Gitindam territory, home of the Wet'suwet'en Nation. Follow CSEK News online at smithersradio.com or follow us on Facebook or Instagram at Smithers Community Radio.
Today on CSEK News, we check in with Chief Namox of the Wet'suwet'en, as well as Jesse Stompler from Skeena Watershed Conservation Coalition, about the recent Peace and Unity Summit that took place in Smithers last week, the third iteration of the Peace and Unity Summit. We'll chat with both of them about the concerns that were brought up about how Indigenous nations are dealing with RCMP arrest actions, as well as unwanted resource projects on their territory, and also solutions to deal with those concerns and what comes next in the conflict between the Wet'suwet'en and the CGL pipeline. Stay with us.
I am Chief Namox, Hereditary Chief for the Wet'suwet'en Nation, and currently I'm down on the beautiful Wet'suwet'en where it meets the Skeena River.
Great, Namox. Thanks so much for being with us. We're here to talk about the Peace and Unity Summit that took place last week, the third edition of the Peace and Unity Summit. You've done this before, but this is ongoing. You keep bringing people together to have this conference. Tell me a little bit about why you guys wanted to do a third iteration of the Peace and Unity Conference.
Well, it's always about having human connection. There just hasn't been enough of that since COVID. And to have people experience being on the land. And, of course, we live stream it so people are fully aware of the information we're sharing, but it's all about making sure voices are heard, people are held accountable for their actions, and what we can do to help fight climate change, help protect our salmon, our rivers, who we are as human beings.
And Namox, maybe tell me a little about, you know, who came to the summit and what's the outreach? Obviously, there are other nations dealing with similar concerns, similar issues. So who are some of the people that came to the summit, and what did you hear from them?
Well, we had people, hereditary, traditional leadership from, of course, all over British Columbia and Canada, but we also had people come in from Hawaii, Mexico, all over the world, European Union, and made sure that we all were having great conversations and sharing the information, as I stated, and the commonalities that we all have. Huge concern of what climate change is doing. They're all amazed that to come up here and drink out of this here clean rivers we have, because most places they come from, it can't be done. And so just to reiterate the fact that all humans working together, like-minded, like-hearted people, can make a huge difference. And like I said, from people all over the world coming here and knowing that if we all work together in unity and peacefully, we can all make a difference. Rely on traditional science, all the sciences that are available, as well as the knowledge of the people of the land.
You know, Namox, this is the third time that you guys have organized this summit. What was the outcome of the first two summits, and what came out of this one? Obviously, you mentioned, you know, you guys have a lot of conversations, but you're dealing with some pretty difficult situations here, you know, forced removal off your territory, and other places, similar situations. Obviously, the ongoing conflict with the pipeline company, CGL. So what is kind of the end result of these summits, and what's kind of the lasting legacy? What comes next after these summits?
Well, it's about reawakening of the voices. Like, quite often when it comes to industry and elected governments, they try to make people be convinced that they don't have a voice. What they say doesn't matter. What they do doesn't matter. Only listen to the people who are elected or industry itself. Well, we brought forward the fact that we do make a difference. We talked about the KKR, who actually owns a majority of TC Energy, which is CGL pipeline, and the very fact that, yeah, they're a $500 billion company. Yes, one of their operatives was David Petraeus. He was a general that ran the invasions in Afghanistan, Iraq, Iran. Then he joined the CIA, and from there he went to KKR. But that doesn't mean that we still don't have a right to stop projects that are killing this planet. That doesn't mean with that type of firepower that they can silence us. But it also means the more we united we are, the better we are. And the big difference is in that unity, doing it peacefully, and making sure the world understands that, hey, maybe Canada isn't as great a country that they say that we in democracy when you have invasions like that, and challenge what industry and elected governments put out. Tell the truth and never be afraid to tell the truth.
I guess, why does it matter to you know, talk about that Petraeus, you know, his background, obviously running the corporation that owns majority of the pipeline? Why is it important to talk about that? And you know, what actions are going to be taken? I know you we've often spoken about, you know, trying to stop this pipeline, but it's 80% in the ground. You know, where do you go from here, and why is it important to tell people about, you know, who runs these corporations and what's happening in these corporations?
Well, first and foremost, they're using fear, and they're not even following the law nor the constitution of this country when they are doing invasions such as they have on us, the Wet'suwet'en, but also the very fact that if you are making the world aware of what's happening, you are making a difference in that way. And when you say that amount of pipes are in the ground, there is not 1 ounce of product in those pipes. And that is because of the hard work of the people, the love of clean water, the love of freedom, that is happening. There is no real market for it. Right now, it's just a ploy on behalf of British Columbia and Canada itself, trying to convince people that there is a market that doesn't exist.
I guess what, you know, if that's the case, you know, what comes next? They're continuing to build, you know, this pipeline. They're continuing to build the terminal in Kitimat. You know, where does the fight go from here? Where do you see the Wet'suwet'en people needing to focus their attention and their actions and what actions will come? How do you find a resolution with this situation, which clearly has been going ongoing for several years now?
Well, they need to be made aware that we are the template not only for violence that is happening, but also for industry and elected governments to continue in the way they're doing. We're making the difference by saying no. We are making a difference by standing together, and we are making a huge change in the future by saying these projects are not needed, they're not wanted, and all they're doing is killing this planet. We are the template they're using for violence. They want to intimidate us. They want to charge us. They want to remove us from the land. They want to lock us up in jail. Then hopefully on their behalf, others will fall in line. Well, no, you don't have to fall in line. Say no, act like it, and make sure we have a better future. Do not be intimidated.
You know, the other thing I wanted to talk about is, you know, obviously there's, you know, a lot of conversation about the jobs, the economic stimulus that comes from, you know, these projects. And, you know, someone made the point of that there are Wet'suwet'en who've gotten jobs out of this as well. You know, how do you bring resolution and kind of rebuild some of those relations within the nation after years of kind of this conflict?
Well, when it comes to jobs, we knew the numbers were fabricated, and that's been proven to be true. Why else would they have so many man camps on the territory, right? And also, most of those jobs are done because you did state yourself that over 80% of the pipeline is in the ground. So who are the first people released? Well, of course, it's the local people. It's the Indigenous people. And where will those jobs be in 3 years? They simply don't exist, do they? And it's exactly what was told from day one. These are short-term jobs. You will be the first ones laid off. Now we have people that have thought it would last longer, the jobs, than what they thought. And now they're in economic need again. Well, more pressure on our people. And that's their strategy.
Namox, just the last thing for you. This was the third summit. What comes next? Are you going to be continuing to have these? And, you know, what is the objective of the next summit that will come down the road?
Well, we're in discussion because the summit just ended this past week, and we're planning on next year's. And why not bring it to the North Coast, where the terminals are proposed to be? Why not listen to the voices of the coast? That's where our salmon migrate to. That's where they mature and then come back home. So why not have the voices of the coast? Because we've seen up here where the people have said no and still yet banned Lex system, signing agreements against the wishes of their own people. So why not have the voices of the coast in there?
Okay. Namox, we'll leave it there for now, but thanks so much.
I just thank you for your time and the people who are listening. And remember, we live in a beautiful place on this planet. We need to protect it. We need to stand together, and let's be peaceful about it. Thank you.
That was Chief Namox of the Wet'suwet'en. Coming up next, my conversation with the co-executive director for Skeena Watershed Conservation Coalition, Jesse Stoppler, about the Peace and Unity Summit.
My name is Gwilakom Gubu. My English name is Jesse Stoppler. I'm currently sharing the leadership as a co-executive director for Skeena Watershed Coalition with Shannon McPhail.
All right, great. Jesse, thanks so much for being with us here on CACK News. Of course, as I mentioned, the third annual Peace and Unity Summit took place last week. You had quite a number of delegates in Smithers attending the summit. Maybe tell me a little bit about how the summit originally got going and how this year went. What were the outcomes after the third annual Peace and Unity Summit?
Thanks, Dan. First off, I would really like to thank everyone that honored the invitation and traveled to Smithers to be with us. We had a beautiful outcome. There was representation that was from across BC and Canada and global. There was representation from Seattle, Montana. We had someone travel from Hawaii for this, someone from Germany. Of course, all of the coastal nations, or most of them, had representation there. And they're honored local leaders and people that belong to our society in the Northwest.
And Jesse, maybe tell me a little bit about the summit itself. You know, what's kind of the idea? How did this originate? And why do you feel the need to keep having them?
I believe in the founding values that you also hear in the name, peace and unity. These are two powerful tools, I think, that guide our work and lots of other people's work. It started, I would say, about 4 years ago, funny enough, really, just with the Mox and Kirby and myself having a cup of coffee. And rather than bitching about problems, we also wanted to come up with solutions. So, that was the founding moment. I think at that time we were arguing back and forth as to who should expense $30 for a tripod so we can put a cell phone on there and stream it on Facebook. And since it's become an annual event, this was the third. Planning for the fourth has already started, and it's really, really heartwarming to see all the great people that attend and be part of it and make it happen. And it's focus orientated, and it's also meant to take a different angle on solutions.
Jesse, could you maybe talk about some of those solutions? I know you had a couple of panels discussing, you know, several issues, not only that the Wet'suwet'en and the Gitxsan are facing, but other nations as well. So what were some of those solutions that were discussed at the summit?
You know, Dan, I think as horrific as it's really looked, what the Wet'suwet'en have faced, for example, over the last few years in the eye of industrial vandalism on their territory. It was really only meant to be a template. We saw this in other instances like Fair Creek. Some of the vital counterpieces that are being applied against title holders like CURG, or as they just changed the name into Critical Response Unit, were then applied, born out of Standing Rock, first tried at Fairy Creek, then ramped up into the scenarios that we all got to witness in person or in the media. The Wet'suwet'en had to pay the price, and now there will be other nations, the neighbors, us of Kiksan, we're I think facing this next with more development on the horizon.
I guess I just again, I mean, what were some of the solutions that were discussed, and what were the takeaways for some of the attendees?
I'm not entirely sure what the takeaways are for attendees. It was really important to myself that attendees and listeners and viewers see the true potential in building and maintaining relationship. I think sometimes we get the notion that decision making happens in some office, but in reality, decision making happens based on actions, and we see the continuous support that keeps coming in for us, for Wet'suwet'en, for Kiksan, for nations. That relationship piece is invaluable when it comes to learning from each other, learning from mistakes, building allies, and sharing of information.
We spoke to Namox about this, but I'll ask you the same. What comes next? I know there's already the early stages of planning out the idea for the next Peace and Unity Summit. Maybe tell me a little bit about what was discussed, and what can people look forward to, what comes next for the Peace and Unity Summit?
Thanks, Dan. I think over the last 3 years, there was emphasis on activities that have been taking place on Wet'suwet'en Yinta. Mainly, parts of it would have also swept into Kiksan territory. But the background to the Peace and Unity as a summit is also some groundwork that happens year round, where we're trying to build capacity with youth, mentorship, and the overall goal is, at least in my books, to eventually see our youth group and youth in general take on the responsibilities for the peace and unity. And it's affecting nations, not just in this bioregion. And I think it's important that we can get this on the road and provide the same outside of this region, travel into communities, and also ensure that we're not only asking, but also delivering.
All right, Jesse, thanks so much for your insight on this. We really appreciate it, and good luck with organizing the next summit.
Thank you so much, Dan.
You've been listening to CICK News. If you have any hot tips or news stories you think we should cover, contact us at CICKnews@smithersradio.com or follow us on Facebook at CICK News. CICK News is made possible by the Government of Canada and the Community Radio Fund of Canada, the only organization mandated to financially supporting campus and community radio stations across Canada. You can also catch our fresh shows each week at theskeena.com or subscribe to our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you find your podcasts. Thanks to our producer, Pam Hassan, and all of our roving reporters, I'm Dan Messick. Thanks for listening.